mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it.
And the gang is back together again. How's your weekend, guys? Chew, did you do anything fun?
It was a good chill weekend. No guests. Wound up going to State Fair yesterday. Packed.
You love going to the State Fair.
It was great. You know what, though? A little disappointed.
In what?
Unis. They were very stale. But I can tell you this, and I think I texted you guys yesterday. Brewers gear far outweighed everything else. 10-1 might be light.
People are excited.
10-1 might be light.
10-1 Brewers gear to Packers gear?
I'm going to bump that up to 15-1. Whoa. Maybe 20-1.
Yeesh.
So it was Brewers, Gap, Packers, little gap, Bucks.
Okay.
I would say Packers to Bucks were 3-1.
Now I've never been to State Fair.
Literally never?
Never.
How is that possible?
Literally never.
Why?
It's never happened.
Stubborn.
Lifelong Wisconsin resident has never been to the Wisconsin State Fair. Oh, and by the way, it's held 15 minutes from your home.
A question.
Answer.
Have you been to the Washington State Fair?
I have not been to the Washington County. I've been to the Dodge County Fair. I've not been to the Washington County State
Fair. What's your problem, Kazansky?
I don't know. I've never gone.
Jen, have you gone this year?
Not yet. Next Thursday, Dario is in the cream puff eating contest, so that is our planned day to attend the state fair.
Jashy?
I was there on Saturday all day. Tried all the new offerings of food. Made my way around, had a couple brewskis.
I had the thing that won the Sporky. Is that right? Did I say that right?
Sporkies are very famously a thing at State Fair.
It was delicious. It was actually...
What was it?
It was a brat with breading wrapped around it. It was served with marinara sauce.
It was a wonton brat, I believe.
Wait, no.
Am I wrong?
I don't think that's the one that won. It might have been in the Sporkies. It might have finished high in the Sporkies.
Okay.
But the one that won was like a banana.
Lumpia.
Not a wonton, but yeah, that's right. There you go, Joshy.
Yeah. I tried about eight different things.
It was very good, but you can't eat a boiled brat. Am I right or wrong? It's got to be grilled.
Yeah.
Sounds like you did.
I did, but it would have been so much better if it was grilled.
Yeah, because you're losing some of the texture. It's a little more mushy when it's boiled.
Odd looking gray, too.
Yeah, it's not not as aesthetically pleasing color.
Yeah, but it was delish. It was very good. Deals weren't great, though.
Why do
though.
People go to the fair, too? What do you think the big draw is? Like, do you think it's the food? Do you think it's the rides? Do you think it's the people watching?
People watching is one. So we went with intentions of buying stuff because we love that expo center and they normally have good deals, right?
Sure.
And we were the only ones in the group that didn't. Had a friend that bought another palm tree.
One of those expensive palm trees that your wife bought a couple of years ago.
Which she told me 9 times. I still don't regret it.
Oh, all right. Okay. Hey, hashtag no regrets.
Friend bought a sauna. Jen, I believe the place that you sponsor.
Did they mention my name for a discount shoe?
We told them to. We left because we bolted. We Irish goodbye.
He's got to go. Yeah.
We just left.
It's rule number one. He's got to go.
Another friend buy a golf cart.
A golf cart?
Yes.
At the fair?
Yeah.
What are they going to use the golf cart for?
Well, you can drive around Okachi now in them on the roads.
Oh.
So we tried to buy knives. I
didn't realize Okachi was now just a golf cart community.
We tried to buy...
A bunch of old people just cruising around in golf carts.
We tried to buy knives. Like, couldn't get a deal, though. Can you guys... All right, let me ask you this.
Whoa. Your wife was trying to negotiate a deal, wasn't she?
She was.
Yeah.
And they moved a little bit, but not enough. $1,200 for a set of knives.
Seems like a lot.
Seems steep.
Seems like a lot.
She got them down to $1,050.
What was she trying to get him to?
400.
So here's the thing. She doesn't really want the knives.
Correct.
No.
She just wants to win the negotiation.
Yeah.
Right? The knives are just the vehicle for negotiating for Angie.
The thing is, good knives are expensive. I don't know what you guys were dealing with, but like a really nice knife is multiple hundreds of dollars.
I know. And I love a nice sharp knife.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love taking them to the sharpener too.
But you know what the problem is? I'll tell you what the problem is. This is the problem. It's very simple. Costco.
Well, you can just go to Costco, get something a lot cheaper that's roughly equivalent.
Yep.
You're not wrong.
Am I right? $400. We got a knife set for the lake. $400.
So Costco is ruining the Wisconsin Expo Center's business? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I think so. I think.
Little housekeeping here. I did look it up. The winner of the Sporkies was the Oob Butter Banana French Toast. Is it Lumpia? Is that how you pronounce it, Joshy?
I've just called it Lumpia. I do not know the origin of it. But yeah, that's... I tried it. I wasn't a fan.
It's a caramelized bananas, syrup-soaked French toast, purple ube butter, deep-fried, dusted with powdered sugar. The one that Chewy had, I believe, finished second in the Sporkies, and that was the Brat Rangoon from Worst Bar. Sound about right?
It was delish. So then we Irish goodbyed. We just left. Didn't tell anybody. And we went to Mamma Mia's.
Did anybody text you, where did you guys go?
Yes, yeah. So you can't respond until you're back home. So we go there.
Was that in fear that they're going to come meet you then at your next destination?
We didn't want to get sucked back in. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Seems like that fear was pretty high then. Because I feel like once you leave, if I Irish goodbye and my friends text you, hey, where'd you go? Hey, don't worry, I'm fine. Just had to go.
So I sent you another picture from Mamma Mia's of a lady sitting there with no shoes on, like right across from us.
Yeah,
and Jen, Josh says, that is fine. It is to be expected in West Dallas.
Stand by that.
So I got to just let it go.
I was not prepared for the locale to be the thing that excuses the behavior. I disagree. She had her feet up on the booth across. So she's sitting at a booth alone. Yep. She had her feet up.
I don't think she was alone. Was she alone? I think there was somebody.
There was a guy there, but he wasn't eating.
You can see, I'm not going to post a picture because I'm not going to post the person's face.
Correct.
Yeah, they unwittingly. But there is a person tucked in the booth there. I can see him sitting there on the farther side.
Yeah.
So her feet are blocking him in.
Correct.
So he's eating dinner with somebody's dogs out about six inches to his left.
I think Josh is right.
Look. No, I don't think that there's any town, locale, community where it's allowed to have your bare feet on a place where someone else is going to sit.
Nobody said allowed. Nobody said that should be allowed. I believe what Josh said is it should be expected.
Big difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
Like West Dallas,
saying expected, you're making the allowance. You're saying, well, what do you expect? It's West Dallas. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, because West Dallas has, let's be honest, this is the expectations they've set for themselves.
Yeah.
This is what West Dallas has done.
Which is fine.
There's a reason people call it the Dirty Stallus.
Yes.
I think we should power rank places that you might see somebody's dogs out at dinner.
Cudahy.
He knew that. Knew Cudahy was going to make an appearance on the list. Chewy was just waiting for you to ask that question.
Yeah.
Couldn't say it fast enough.
And the weird
I don't have the knowledge to participate in that conversation.
Manitowoc.
Gang. I don't have the knowledge.
Yeah, Manitowoc's a good one. Manitowoc's a good one.
Anything north of what? Highway?
Anything north of Wausau, really.
But to Joshy's point, I really wasn't offended because it was in Stallus. I think I expected it. It's fine.
You kind of see it. You make a mental note of it, but you're like, this is. I chose to go here. This one might be on me.
Chewy, you posed another question to us, which I thought was very insightful, very interesting, very enlightening, actually. What was the question you posed to us about your lock screen?
I said, if you are in a serious relationship or you're married, are you obligated to have your spouse on your screensaver?
The answer to that is no.
Why?
don't know. I've never.
Wait, no, I thought no was the answer you were looking for, Chief.
Well, it was, but
I. Looking for support.
See, not only do I have that decision, because Angie's on it, I don't even get to choose the picture.
This doesn't sound like a decision, though.
Yeah, this seems
sounds like a mandate.
Yeah, it seems like this was part of the vows.
But I think,
when you guys stood in front of God and your friends, that this was probably something that was snuck into the contract.
Give me a
of
percentage.
Marriage.
Let's just go with married people. I bet 70% of married people have their spouse either on their home screen or the lock screen.
I think that depends because so again, I do not, but I'm guessing like in Jen's case, and Jen, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. When you have small kids, I feel like most parents are going to have pictures of their small children. Now, if you have adult children like you do at this point, you're not going to have pictures of your adult kids on there. But the small children, I feel, is like any friend that I know, if I see their phone, I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts it's their kids on their phone.
See, now mine, what's the first one?
So that's the lock screen.
So my kids are on my home screen.
I thought he was asking about the kids, guys. I thought he was asking, what's the name of the first kid?
So, yeah, I have them. Jen, what do you have on your phone? On the lock screen.
Kids.
On the lock screen?
Lock screen, three kids.
And then home
and
screen.
And if I'm being honest, the background is the other is also the children. It's our
Mine's
Christmas picture of the children. Here's my question to you. Do you feel like there is a portion of the population that is going to make a judgment call on you and your relationship based on whether or not you have your spouse as your lock screen?
Yeah.
Right? Like if you don't have your spouse as your lock screen, are there people out there going, you know what I mean? Like making judgments about
I think
that.
With me, they're just saying that I have no balls, basically, right? And I'll admit I don't. I fully admit I do not. I don't run anything. I don't want to run anything. That's fair, right?
Yeah.
So are you? What do you have as your lock screen?
Me? I've got a picture that I took from Augusta National on the 10th hole.
And you're not in
trouble? That is my lock screen. No. So my wife's her lock screen is a picture of our dog.
Okay.
And then her home screen is a picture she took when we were in Puerto Rico. So it's just like looking out and you can see the ocean and yeah, it's a beautiful picture.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not on my wife's phone. My wife is not on my phone.
I got judged because I didn't have the dog on mine. Mine was just one of the general ones. I'd never changed it.
That tracks for you, pal.
And it wasn't, you need a picture of me. You need a picture of the dog there. So that has been changed and probably will never change again.
I'm going to say
and I just want to make sure that we've addressed this, Chewy.
Yeah.
You have to have your wife as your lock screen, right? That's what we've established thus far?
Is there a nicer way to say it?
It's an expectation.
Chewy wants to have his wife as his lock screen.
Yeah. There you go.
It's an honor.
Yep.
It's an honor to have his wife on the lock screen. That's
and she didn't want me on. It's a picture with me in it.
I can see your shoulder.
And it's cropped.
Yeah.
So I'm out of it.
Yeah. Your right shoulder. It's right there. I can see it. Clear as
day.
Well,
you don't need to know what you look like. Do you at least get autonomy over which picture you get to put on there?
No, I have to get permission. Yeah.
Wait, so are you at least given an option? Like, hey, one of these three pictures is the one that you can have as
well,
your lock screen.
I put a very nice picture on there
okay.
where it was just her.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I don't like that picture. Get rid of it. Put this one on there. So.
What about your home screen? What's on the home screen? Just nothing?
The family.
Okay, the family.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, like I just had an idiot friend text me, run your camp. I know. I don't run my camp. That's fine.
I mean, you know who you are, and you're proud to admit it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Here's the thing. I think you guys talk about out of both sides. Because you think you run your camp, but you really don't run your camp.
I'm under no illusion I run my camp.
There is no doubt in Jen's house who runs the camp.
Josh calls his girlfriend Mussolini. Do you think he believes he runs his camp?
Fair point.
Although you could argue that the ability to call her Mussolini means he has a little more power than we think he has.
Also, on the shuttle to State Fair, bringing it all around here, Mike in Franklin was our shuttle driver and said, oh, is that Mussolini back there? Said, you betcha it is.
I feel like this happens once a week now, where she gets recognized in the wild as Mussolini. I'm sure she loves it. She just absolutely loves it. Every second of it.
But why does Mussolini get a pass, though?
She said how she feels about it?
That's the weirdest thing, how Mussolini gets a pass. Because he was not a good person.
No.
But if my wife called me Dahmer, that would not be good.
No.
Right?
Nope. Nope.
I mean, obviously, there's one that is like, eh.
Yeah,
no, that's correct. Don't use that
to
one.
Power rank the names that you can call your spouse when you're upset with them.
I think I found the perfect between people know, but it's not known enough.
Correct.
Yes.
You know the name. Yes. You know good things aren't associated with it. Uh-huh. You're just not sure about the specifics the way you are with, you know, some other dictators.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's put this on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll this morning. It's got to be about your lock screen on your phone. It sounds like Chewy is under a certain, obligation to have his wife as his lock screen. He's curious if he is alone in that. 800-990-3776. What do you have as your lock screen on your phone? Is it your kids? Is it a picture from a golf outing like it is for Gabe? Is it your spouse? Let us know, 800-990-3776. We got a boatload of stuff to get to today. What a weekend it was in the state of Wisconsin. Family night taking place up at Lambeau Field. Another incredible crowd, 60,000 strong. Not a shocker at all as Packers fans showed out again. We got a love compilation video of every pass he threw at family night scrimmage. And there's a lot of thoughts about that. What should we take? How should we use this data as we evaluate Jordan Love? There was a wide receiver snap breakdown as well. And oh, by the way, your Milwaukee Brewers not only swept the Nationals, but they set a record for 56 hits in a 3-game span. We will talk about that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on this morning on a Monday.
Cheez It, the legendary snack cracker. It's now available in a frozen pizza. It's sitting in my freezer, by the way. I found some. I got some in my freezer. I can't wait to try it. Might do it for lunch today. But each crust for the original Cheez-It pizza is the Cheez-It flavored cracker. So, of course, it's going to be square-shaped, ultra-thin, super crispy. It's the perfect amount of Cheez-It flavor. And then on top of that, flavors that perfectly complement Cheez-It, including Italian four cheese, Cheddar Jack Supreme, and pepperoni. I've got the pepperoni in my freezer. Can't wait to, again, eat it, tell you about it later. With one of the shortest bake times, you're going to go from freezing to Cheez-It in as few as 8 minutes. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section. That's right. Cheez-It is now a frozen pizza.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally we figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, and maybe you'll be lucky enough to put them on your, you know, on your lock screen or home screen, the Jewelry Center, it's the only place to go for that special ring. Best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. That reason, I believe, is the great team that they've put together. Whether you're stopping at a Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, the helpful team's always going to be able to point you in the right direction. Whether you kind of have an idea of what you want that ring to look like, or whether you're clueless, bring in some things for her Pinterest page, they're going to be able to help you and make that dream ring a reality. Whether it's a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to that diamond engagement ring, of course, the Jewelry Center has it. Again, check them out, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, online, shoptjc.com, and when you go to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
You know, I'm thinking back to the trade deadline in Major League Baseball on Thursday. And I'm thinking about how, Joshy, I heard you say on Friday, you were questioning this organization's commitment to winning a World Series because they didn't go out and get a bat. I think it's fair to ask you the question this morning. Have you changed your mind after the offensive performance the Brewers put on this weekend against, albeit the Nationals, but I believe the number I saw was 56. Is that correct? 56 hits in a 3-game span. They now have a run differential of plus 119 in Major League Baseball after starting the year minus 32. That is first in the league. Do you feel like this team has the offensive firepower it needs to make a run, Joshy?
I certainly think the Brewers are a very good team. I also think they are not far away from disaster, not far away from a few things regressing and the Brewers having some real challenges scoring runs. I think Jackson Churio, Sal Frelick, we saw Miz go on the aisle. Like, all these things are coming to a point here where the Brewers are winning at this point like 70% of their games. That's not a thing that really can translate. Teams don't win like that throughout the course of the season. I still think they're a good team. I still think they're a playoff team. But when it comes down to the playoffs, I still think another bat would have been integral to this team truly being elevated to one of the top-tier teams. Because if you look at the odds at Potawatomi, they have the 8th or 9th best odds. If you look at Pecota, which does the standings and the projections for the rest of the season, the Brewers aren't finishing based on projections as one of the, they're like a top three team, but not the best team in baseball. So I think this is great, and I think you're getting yourself an advantage and improving your chances, but I still think when push comes to shove, the Brewers are going to be in positions against some teams that are really deep and really good that in a seven-game series will be able to edge their way out.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there a concern that they're peaking too early? Because I talk about it in football,
yeah.
Like when we went through our Super Bowl thing, we lost a game to Dallas. I think it was Dallas. And then we go to St. Louis, played like crap.
You lost to Dallas and Kansas City.
In Kansas City.
You lost back-to-back games, breaking your good teams don't, you know, lose back-to-back games rule.
So we went to a bad team in St. Louis, played them. First half was a train wreck. And we had the team meeting. There were probably 8 games left to win it all, and we sat down and said, now it's time to run. Can't lose a game. Let's run the – is it too early?
And then you won everything by double digits.
Are they peaking too early?
I mean, they're hot right now, but yes, being hot in the postseason – take a look at a team like the Mets. Like, the Mets got hot. They made a run to the NLCS last year.
Mm-hmm.
But – like, it's not like the Dodgers were super hot going into the postseason. They were just good.
And really all it takes, like – the Brewers, let's say Andrew Vaughn and Contreras, play like they have, you're going to have a chance to win a lot of games that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't really predict those things because they could just pop up game two through the rest of the series. You just can't get Contreras out or Vaughn keeps hitting home runs. That's the kind of stuff that makes it. Or, you know, Brandon Woodruff is unhittable and he gets two shots at games. Like, that's the kind of thing that
I guess
baseball.
I don't feel like with a game, guys, like baseball, where everything can be so fluky and you can run into a weekend or a series where things aren't popping. I don't understand the idea of peaking too soon in baseball.
Yes.
Look, I'm a runner. In running, that's a thing, right? You don't want to be having your best mm-hmm. splits, your best times in the middle of the season. You want to be honing and tapering, and that's a thing. Chewy, it sounds like over the course of a football season, you do want to make sure you're playing your best football towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a really, really good team, maybe this is just what the bar is. This is the bar, like this type of performance. And again, I'll admit that the Nationals are not a good team, and it is awesome. But I felt so... I enjoyed it so much watching this series this weekend because to me it felt like there was a little bit of F you. There was a little bit of, oh, you don't think we can do it with these guys? Oh, you don't think we're good enough? You don't think we can show, you know, an offensive prowess that some of these other teams in the league that spend a little bit more money? To me it was that, like, we'll show you. And I don't know, again, I read things on social media. There's, you know, gestures the guys are doing on the field and gestures the guys are doing in the dugout and stuff. I don't know what they all mean. But to me, there was a little bit of that upstartness, and I kind of loved it. I kind of loved this idea of, you didn't think that we, this group, could get it done. We'll show you. Anybody else feel that way when they were
Okay, cool. You got it done against the Nationals. I guess, I mean, look, I don't want to downplay getting 56 hits in a series. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's one thing to be able to, like, talk your ish when it's against the Nationals. Now when you're playing the Phillies, the Mets, the Cubs for 5 games later, the Dodgers, the Padres. I mean, the Nationals have the second worst record in the National League behind the Colorado Rockies. It's the Rockies, and then it's the Nationals. They're not a very good team. So, like, yeah, you can get away with having the lineup that they... There were a lot of people going, what the hell is this lineup on Saturday? That featured Lockridge and Ortiz. And Ortiz is hot right now, too, which is certainly helping things. But this Brewers team is beat up. Like, they need, if they want to make a significant run, they need the guys that are beat up to be healthy late in the season. They need Miz to be healthy. They need Jackson to be healthy. They need Sal to be healthy.
Would it shock you to think that Pat Murphy used that as a strategy? That, again, after all of the talk of the Brewers needing a bat headed into the trade deadline and them basically standing pat, I know they made a few moves, him telling those guys, we're going to throw this lineup out there and y'all are going to show them what you're capable of doing. And then they bought it hook, line, and sinker and went out and did just that. Like, to me, there was so much mental warfare taking place this weekend with the Milwaukee Brewers that I don't think has gotten enough attention. To me, it is another example of why Pat Murphy is the best manager in the National League and should be the front runner to win National League Manager of the Year again. I think I saw at least at one sports book, he is the favorite right now at minus 175. I wasn't able to check Potawatomi last night. I can do that as we sit here. But I am so excited about what this weekend represented, even against a bad team, too.
Yeah, I guess I'm just scarred. You know what? What season scars me is the one where they were undefeated for a while. Remember? And then they went in and played the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's like
the
Chiefs.
I'm like, what the?
Yeah, the Packers. It's like the Chiefs figured them out.
You knew it wasn't a baseball team undefeated.
Well, that's what I'm like. What is he talking
about?
But do you
undefeated? Remember that? They were like, you are the best team in football. And then you go and lose to the Chiefs. And they're like, all their confidence was drained, and then they stunk. I think they lost in the first round of the playoffs. I'm just saying,
they got the bye, and then
the psychological part in me as a former player is like, okay, let's have a 5-game losing streak. Let's just lose 5 games and get it out of the way, reset, and then go.
I prefer not to have a 5-game losing streak.
But you know what I'm saying?
That's too long. Like, if you lose a couple in a row, sure, but 5 games would put you in a really tough spot when it comes to the division. Because that's the other thing. The Cubs are still breathing down your neck.
Like, but I'm bigger in coming in the back door than the front door.
You came in the front door, though.
When?
When you won a championship as the number one seed.
Phrasing.
I think I should have dumped that.
What does that mean?
Never mind. Moving along.
And we're moving on.
If you guys went to Von Lingering on it, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal.
You don't need to go through the back door. At least see if the key's under the back mat. Okay?
You don't have that luxury anymore.
In baseball?
The jig is up. The gig is up. I never know if it's jig or gig.
I never know either.
You guys. One is the dance and one is the situation. People are aware of the Brewers. You know, and maybe there are some, you know, other fan bases that are out there going, oh, this is a fluke. They can't maintain this pace. They're not going to be able to run it. Look at the injuries that are piling up. You mentioned Miz. I don't think that the Miz injury is that serious. I think it is more of a tactic that is being used in order to, once again, save him for a postseason run, save him for a late September run. But I just, there is a part of this team that feels like they are capable of proving those people wrong, you know, and even without getting a bat at the deadline, you know, you can't ignore the 56 hits in the 3 games.
No.
You know, because they've played bad teams before, guys, not this team specifically, but like you play bad teams all the time. Sometimes you lose those series to those bad teams. This was an emphatic statement by the Brewers this weekend. And again, people are going to want to diminish it because of who the opponent was. But Chewy, when you beat bad teams soundly, you still can take some confidence from it, right? You can still take positives from it.
Yeah, like you said, 56 is a lot. It's just, it's the whole, is it sustainable? Sustainable?
I mean, what they're doing, the winning that they're doing right now, and Josh, you mentioned it before, like winning 70% of your games, like that's going to regress. Like that just, you don't do that throughout the course of baseball. Now you can do that for a month or two.
They did do it for 2 months.
Yeah. But it's going to regress a little bit. And like they could very easily lose this series to Atlanta coming up. Like Atlanta's got some good bats in that lineup. And they lost the series to the Braves earlier this year at AmFam Field. Like I just can't take away any broad statements from any series that they play. You know, it's like a couple of years ago when they lost their series. Or maybe they got swept by the A's who were terrible and Tausch wanted to give up on them. I mean, it's okay. Was it bad? Yeah, but it's baseball. It's more about the long haul than it is about those three games.
No, I get it.
You know, it's about trying to win that series, take 2 out of 3 from Atlanta, and maybe if you lose that series to Atlanta, don't get swept because you have to keep up the lead that you have, or if you happen to fall behind, keep pace with the Cubs because it's going to be a tight race all the way down, and we're going to be looking forward to that five-game series in the middle of August coming up here in just a handful of days.
Josh, do you think they can win it all?
I think they can. I think they would need things to really go their way more so than some of the more top-end talented teams because, I mean, they're getting production out of guys that, like, just baseball is pretty straightforward. The good players perform well, and the bad players can perform well for a stretch, and then they sort of come back down to earth. And there's so many, and I don't want to call them bad, average players that are playing over their head right now. And I think we can say for sure, the Brewers at this point, having the best record in baseball, the best run differential, is not totally a fluke. But we can also say they're probably playing above their heads. They're out over their skis a bit. And is that going to be able to continue throughout the season because of the style of Pat Murphy and the style of some of those athletes that they have out there? But I also think their margin for error is much, much thinner than some of those teams that you would look at as favorites for the World Series.
So what percentage?
But if every time, Chewy, we have the conversation that the Brewers front office is the one that we trust the most, why doesn't it stand to reason that the Brewers front office has been able to identify talented guys who have not yet hit their ceiling, and this year they are hitting their ceiling? I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt that, Joshy, I know you used the word average and maybe you wanted to pull back on that a little bit, but maybe these guys aren't average, you know? Maybe we're not talking about dodgeball over here, average Joe's Peter LaFleur. Maybe they're better than average, and that's because the scouting department for the Brewers and the front office for the Brewers have identified guys who just haven't reached their full potential yet, and they happen to be doing it this season.
But I think it's just this stigma that goes along with the Brewers, where it doesn't with the Packers. Because if the Packers this season were in this same position of
best
the Brewers,
record in baseball,
we would be sitting there going, whoo, we got it. Where's the Super Bowl this year? We got it. But because it's the Brewers, it's like, well, things aren't fair. And Ananasio didn't get someone at the trade deadline instead of saying, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I mean, look, I think that to Joshy's point, like Andrew Vaughn is better than he was with the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think he's going to continue to be Aaron Judge? Probably not. Like, I don't think that you missed that bad on someone, right, in terms of Andrew Vaughn. But the good news for the Brewers is somebody who's been underperforming basically all season at the plate seemingly has refound it, and that's William Contreras.
Yeah.
Like, Contreras is one of their good guys who's been underperforming all year. He is a multiple Silver Slugger Award winner at the catcher position, one of the best catchers in all of baseball, and because of a fractured finger, had been underperforming. Now he's kind of figured it out. Apparently, Rhys Hoskins helped him out with some confidence and a couple little things that they adjusted in the batting cage. And now he's starting to look a lot more like, oh, William Contreras that we were expecting all season long. Like, the fact that he still doesn't have double-digit home runs, shocking for someone who's been so good for the Brewers. So while some of these guys could potentially regress to the mean, that also means that now we're starting to see William Contreras play like the player we're expecting to be, and he can pick up some of that slack that may fall off if Vaughn cools off.
Okay. I just think we have restrictor plates on when we come to the Brewers.
Yeah, because...
Are you saying you want to take them off? You want to
take I want them off. Yes.
I'll take them off with you.
Yeah. I think we should be saying, hey, why not us? We're as good as anyone, instead of like, oh.
Well, because what I was saying before the trade deadline.
I mean, the division is just such a tight race, right? Yeah. Like, there's a real chance that the Brewers finish with the second best record in the National League and don't get a bye because they're hosting a wild card series.
Mm-hmm.
And crazy things happen in those wild card series over the course of three games. That's what's
tough. It is so obvious, Gabe. Every time you talk about this, that wild card series is a boogeyman for you. And I'm not saying you're alone in that. I think that there's a lot of Brewers fans who feel that way, but like you're very concerned about having to be in that wild card series because of the way the Brewers have played and performed in it in the past.
It's not specifically a Brewers thing. It's specifically a baseball thing. Like, as talented as the Dodgers are, like the Dodgers have the most talent in all of baseball because they spend the most.
Mm-hmm.
They can easily lose 2 out of 3. Easily.
Yeah.
Lose 2 out of 3. To a good team, because that's all that's left in the postseason at that point. That's why everybody wants to avoid that. Weird, fluky things. The longer the series goes, the better that is for the good teams. The shorter series, the better it is for the teams that are worse, because they might get, you know, a Joey Ortiz, you know, their number 9 guy might run into a baseball in game 2 of that series, hit one out of the ballpark, and, well, that's it. Season's over. Like, it's just such a short series for any team. I would want to avoid that because weird random things happen in baseball more than they happen in any other sport.
800-990-3776. Your excitement level after the Brewers set a record with 56 hits in a three-game series this weekend. They have the best run differential in baseball right now at plus 119. And again, I want to remind everybody, that is after they started the season in a hole, a 32-run hole. That's how good they have been. And obviously, this past series is going to skew those numbers a bit. But it is an impressive place to be in, and I think there's a lot of optimism. I want to ride the wave, as I've told you guys. I'm trying to ride the wave. World Series or bust for me for this Milwaukee Brewers team. Hey, you guys remember me talking about the first time I saw a sauna at the State Fair? Chewy was at the State Fair this weekend with his buddies. I'm glad that they saw a sauna. I'm glad that somebody got it at my friends at Good Health Saunas because I have benefited from having a sauna in more ways than I can even articulate. I think the biggest one, guys, is when I use my sauna, I sleep better. And at this stage of life, man, sleep is so important. If you go out to the Wisconsin State Fair and you're walking through the Expo Center, make sure you tell them that Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. You'll get $500 to $800 off your purchase. State Fair runs for another week, so hopefully we'll see you guys out there at Good Health Saunas at the Wisconsin Expo Center.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm with Gabe here. I feel more confident in my left hand here, just cupping right now, other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
I get a lot more work on the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Milwaukee just got hotter in announcing the buys of summer going on right now at Ewald Automotive Group. There's a reason why you should trust Ewald, like I have. Maybe you're looking for a new car. Get the lowest prices guaranteed on new vehicles, and Ewald is going to beat that price by $500, or they're going to pay you $500 cash guaranteed. With over 1,500 vehicles to choose, you're sure to find the perfect ride for your family. 11 brands, 10 locations, and one easy experience. Trust Ewald the way I have. Don't miss the Ewald Buys of Summer sales event going on now. See dealer details, expires at month's end. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
Want to pivot to Packers here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy for just a few minutes as family night took place this weekend. And once again, Packers fans showing up and showing out. I mean, it is always incredible, and I want to make sure that we don't take this for granted covering this franchise, how cool it is to see Lambeau Field filled on a Saturday night for a practice, Allen Iverson. Chewy, your reaction whenever you see the video, the photographs from a packed Lambeau Field on a summer Saturday night.
I think it's great. And a lot of those people are the one, because we talk about how expensive it is to take a family up there now for a regular season game or a playoff game. This is a way for people that can't get tickets to still be able to go enjoy the stadium, even though it is a practice. Do they have fireworks at the end?
I don't know. I feel like for so many years, yeah, they were just cursed with like bad weather and that they had to cancel the fireworks. I'm not sure if they still do the fireworks or not.
There's so many kids there. You know, they're excited. They're very interactive with things they can do around the stadium. I think it's great.
A lot of cool moments. What's the name of the safety, Gabe? Is it Omar?
Omar Brown.
Omar Brown, yeah, who's fighting for a roster spot. Because we thought the safety spot looked like it was pretty locked up, and he is throwing a wrench into those plans.
Had three interceptions. I believe it brings his total to 5 for this training camp. So there's a lot of cool little stories. They had Romeo Doubs doing the punt event. You know, they had the kid do it last year, and it went viral because he caught like 6 or 7 balls. And then they had Romeo Doubs out there doing it. I believe he was up to 7, but he dropped the 6th one. So then there were questions about whether or not that counted. So they do these cool little individual events that really get the crowd going. Of course, Jordan Love and the quarterbacks throwing into the baskets at the end of the corner of the end zone as well. And I want to talk about Jordan Love here because is it Justice? Is that the guy? There's a compilation that is out there right now. Of every single throw that Jordan Love threw on family night. And there was some mixed reaction to that video. So if you haven't watched it yet, go ahead and take a look at it. It's about a minute 45. It's not all that long. But Chewy, I wanted you to give me your reaction. When you watched the quarterback of the Green Bay Packer for that compilation, how did you feel about what you saw?
number one, there was no marquee throw. You know, there was no head turner. It was a little bit of dink and dunk. But, it was, you know, my overall grade, because I watched that, you know, roll of plays, C plus, B minus, it was fine. It wasn't spectacular. This is what you would expect this part of camp, especially with young receivers, because the offense always lags behind the defense, because so much of the offense is timing, getting familiar with new receivers and things like that. It was fine, I guess. What was your take? I was just there. There was no like, wow, nice 9-step, 10-step rollover by a receiver. Put it right on the money.
I think the last throw was probably the best. He hit a little back shoulder to Matthew Golden.
Yeah.
You know, that was a good timing play. It balls out of his hands quickly. Got it to Golden. Nice 8-9 yard completion. I mean, the offensive line had their struggles. You know, Jordan Morgan getting beat by Lucas Van Ness doesn't help, you know, Jordan Love get comfortable in that pocket. So no Rashid Walker for family night, you know, certainly did not help as Morgan tries to get his footing, playing more left tackle after playing the majority of guard early on in camp. So I don't think that helps everything. And I think that led to some back foot throws from Jordan that I'm hoping we see less of. It's a great thing to be able to do, be able to throw off his back foot and be as good as he is at it. But at times last year, it felt like, whether that was because of the injury or whatever, it felt like he fell in love with that a little too much. And there was some pressure. So I think that kind of led to him throwing off the back foot a little bit. But yeah, still plenty of time in training camp to clean a lot of that up.
It's so vanilla. And this defense has been around long enough and competed in, what, is this the third camp now with Love? So they know what routes they're running. The separation between receiver and DB weren't great. But this is what you expect this time of year. It'll get better.
I guess my question to you guys is this. What if this is what we saw at family night? Jordan Love's mechanics and his footwork. I don't know if it translates always at the quarterback position, but I think about golf, Gabe, the sport that you obviously love. And there have been guys who have been known for having unorthodox swings and have had a lot of success with unorthodox swings. I think I saw Bubba Watson as guy, Arnold Palmer. You know, there's even been recent guys where it's not the perfect swing, but it works for them. Is there a way that we can push Jordan Love through that prism? Is there a way that we can say, like, look, by now we have seen 6 years of Jordan Love, 3 years as a starter. This is his mechanics. They can sit there and try to tinker and improve and make it more optimal, but it doesn't seem like it's sticking, right? In an instance like this, to your guys' point, it's a practice. You're not getting the full threat of the rush because you know guys aren't trying to hurt each other. And yet there were still times where he was throwing off his back foot when you would think he probably doesn't need to do that. He needs to set his feet. He needs to make a good throw and accurately hit his target. Are you okay, Gabe, if what we have seen from Jordan Love is who he is and we just operate within those parameters?
No, because to me, the lack of, especially this past season, I think the lack of the sound fundamentals is what's led to the inconsistency. And what we need out of Jordan Love, what everybody agrees that we need out of Jordan Love, is more consistency. And I think the easiest route to that is kind of cleaning some of these things up. Being able to not drift back in the pocket and just flip one off the back foot. Navigate that traffic just a little bit more. And again, it's one practice, so I'm not overly concerned about this. But those are the things that he needs to do in order to be better to achieve that consistency that we're talking about. We've seen the upper level. We know the upper level in the way he can play can be with the best. But can you do that on a consistent basis? Because if you can't, then you're hoping that the hot streak comes at the end of the season or in a Super Bowl run the way it did for Eli Manning, the way it did for Joe Flacco. And instead of being a consistent contender the way it was for Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, and guys like that.
Now, I did think on 4 or 5 balls, he held on to the ball too long. And that's going to cause you to throw off your back foot.
Yeah.
You know? So his decision-making, it's just got to be quicker. I mean, he might have been just getting bored because there were a lot of like little checkdowns, like 6-yard runs. And you get bored, you know?
Yeah, that's fine.
You get bored, you want, you know, you're out there in front of your own fans, you want to give them a wow throw. And so I did think he held on to the ball maybe four or five times a little bit too long, which is going to cause you to have your mechanics go a little haywire.
Yeah, so again, I think it's just this one practice, you know. Like you said, maybe it's as simple as what Chewy said, that he was looking to make that big-time throw, and he was trying to impress the 60,000.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not overly concerned about it now. If I see it through the first 4 weeks of the regular season, that's when it becomes, all right, maybe this is what Jordan Love is. That's when I think.
Look, I played with a guy whose mechanics were awful. But they let him. Yeah, they were pretty bad.
Were they?
A lot of interceptions.
So that's decision making. That's not mechanics. Like, in order to throw the ball as hard as Brett did, like, you needed to have pretty good footwork underneath.
But the coaches, when they had, like, Mooch and Andy, they're like, all right, he does this really well. It looks ugly as sin.
Yeah.
But he manages it. You know, it's the stuff you can't manage, right? Like, Brett was horrible, and we tried to do it for years and years on sprinting out.
Like a rollout?
Yeah, but like a full rollout.
Yeah.
That wasn't his.
He couldn't do it?
He wasn't great. You know, he wasn't great, but we kept it in there. So the Arthur, they just have to pick and choose. All right, you don't do that well, we're not going to do that, you know? But concern level is a zero. I have no concern. He'll be fine.
I guess it just depends on if you are okay with, and this is a philosophical thing also, because work in progress, aren't we all work in progress every step of the way? But I think that there is a desire for it to get cleaned up. I think there is a desire for a lot of people, guys. Family Night was the first time they're seeing extended cuts of how Jordan Love is going to look this year. And again, you don't want to weigh too much into it, but it was your first glimpse of that. So you sit there and go, oh no, he's still doing that. Okay, well, maybe it doesn't matter because it's Family Night, and it doesn't matter because it's just a practice. I'm sure he'll get it cleaned up, but are you? Are you sure they'll get it? And then you have to work through the, am I okay if these are his mechanics? Can he have a high level of success if he is throwing off his back foot in situations like this? If he is hopping around the pocket the way that he is? If he's not setting his feet on some of these throws, especially when he's trying to go downfield, as we have talked about how the accuracy at times has been an issue. Are you okay with Jordan Love still being a work in progress when it comes to his mechanics and his footwork, I guess is what you have to reconcile at this point.
One more thing, Jen, because I made the switch. I went from Andy Reid my first 4 years to Mike Sherman. And there's a new quarterback's coach, and they do things differently. Like, when I had Andy, you know, the chutes look like cattle things.
Chutes and ladders?
Chutes, bag and boards. Chutes, they look like, you know, the big thing that the linemen go under.
They're the metal things that keep linemen lower. No.
Oh.
The chutes.
We'll get a picture for you.
Okay.
Andy Reid hated them. I hated them. Mike Sherman loved them. I hated them. And Mike Sherman still made me do them.
Bonk your head off them a few times?
Yeah.
Stay low, short, choppy steps. Keep your base wide.
There you go. But the worst is when your hands are inside the chute hitting the bag, and then your helmet hits your hands.
Yeah.
Dent up your fingernails and stuff. Yeah. So we got to give this coach a little time because he wants to do it his way. He'll clean it up. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm more concerned if it happens more into the regular season.
Yeah.
3776. If you're buying or building a new home, Great Midwest Banks will help guide you every step of the way. My family and I are looking for a house, and we know that Great Midwest Bank will take care of us, giving us the very best options. So when you're ready for your next big life decision, get fast and flexible mortgage pre-approval straight from Great Midwest Bank's experienced and, most importantly, local loan officers. From start to finish, bank with confidence. Great Midwest Bank is your simply local equal housing lender. See all of their customizable products at greatmidwestbank.com. That's greatmidwestbank.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to. Ernie, do it, and I don't know
does
how
it ever?
It, so
yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Discover Proof Pizza at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's in the heart of the Milwaukee Theater District. This modern pizzeria delivers Neapolitan-style pies, a bold grill menu, and old-school hospitality in a sleek, art-inspired setting. Whether you're craving a quick lunch or a relaxed evening bite, Proof Pizza is your go-to downtown destination. Dine in, unwind, and savor the flavor that hits just right. And here's a tip. If you mention Jen Latta, you'll receive 10% off your order. How about that? Learn more at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
You ever put any of that Proof Pizza in your pocket, Jen?
Like a pocket pizza?
Like a pocket pizza.
Like a pocket pancake.
Yeah.